You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Just put it right on his computer right there.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Although that was the lie of the day. I never really did that. Morales has fallen for the lie of the day at least four times. Like, he'll put it in a promo not realizing that was a bit. For a guy who creates bits, I mean, Chris is as good at bits as anybody. I can't believe he keeps doing that.
Question, but when was the last time you two were even in studio together?
Mason and I?
Yeah.
Well, we were together playing in the golf thing last month.
I mean, in the room I'm sitting in right now.
Oh,
can you,
Greg,
remember?
That would have been March of 2020, right?
Wow.
Yeah, right before.
Now, Clinton, I've been in the room you've been in a lot because we did Lakers
games
there
Lakers
for
games,
a couple
yeah.
of years.
But I met both of
but
you.
But Mason has only been in studio maybe one time in 2 years.
Wow. Because Travis and Sliwa were both here, as I mentioned at
the top of
the show. They're
normally there, Clinton. They,
that was wild.
They actually are two of the people that have been going in fairly regularly.
So they're allowed. They're allowed.
They were both. There's a handful of people. I'm on this list. Travis is on this list. Sliwa's on this list. Bergman's on this list. That are allowed in because of our game coverage. Like, I do the Laker games. Travis does pre and post for the Rams. Sliwa does pre and post for the Lakers. There's only a certain amount of people who are let into buildings. You are because you're a TV guy.
Right.
Like, and so Mason, much like the being put on the scoreboard at SoFi Stadium and Staples Center, Mason doesn't make the cut. But eventually they'll let him back in.
Right.
Fair now, a couple of people, before we pivot back to what happened to the Rams, a couple of people wanted to weigh in on that Urban Meyer thing. Here's Jake in Long Beach on line two. Hey, Jake, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Well, number one, y'all wrong for that Genuine song. I died laughing when I heard that.
Yeah.
Number two, when you get paid by an organization, you represent that organization day and night. And for him getting caught in that situation, I think he did the right thing by saying, hey, I was wrong, hey, whoopie whoop, because he got caught. Now, you
but
know,
Jake,
you
what
caught,
did he get
a little leeway.
What did he get caught doing that reflected poorly on the organization?
Right. It's the NFL. It's not the, you know, it's not the church.
Is it, you think that Urban Meyer's the only guy out picking up girls in a bar?
Oh, no, not at all. But when you're standing there getting grinded on, it gives a bad look, and that's about optics.
Let Jake cast the first stone,
by the
my
way,
guy.
Clinton, could I not argue that getting grinded on in a bar by a girl is a good look? It depends where you're at.
It's not a good
life,
look,
right?
When your wife is tweeting at the same time that she's at home taking care of the grandkids.
But that's a moral judgment.
I get that. I'm just saying. I'm just laying out the facts here. We know whose side I'm on, Ireland. I'm just pointing out the timeline proverbially.
Let's say this was me or you. All right? And I'm married. All right, if I'm in a bar and some girl's grinding up me and somebody puts it on the internet, would I have to apologize to ESPN?
Probably not. But
I'd have to apologize to my wife.
But
she
if you
might
walked
not talk
into
to
this room, every single person here would be making fun of you. Now, to this point, as a former goon who no longer is in the streets the way that I was, used to be, this can't happen. This is a blown coverage. You know what I'm saying? You can't be out in the streets with people in
your face.
Well,
the one thing that did surprise me was that.
What are you doing?
That, I mean, like, I know I'm relatively conscious of that. Anytime I'm in public, everybody has a camera in their pocket.
Sure.
So it, but and I'm sure Urban knows that, but I still don't see what he did that was wrong in reference to his job as the head coach of the Jags.
I mean,
is it a great look? No. Did it warrant a four-minute apology in his Monday press conference? Hell no.
I mean, you listen, you're dealing with different folks down there in Duval County. I was just down there recently. You know, there are some – let's just say this. There are some societal pressures in certain parts of the country that are very different than they are, let's just say, in Los Angeles. People want answers for why you're not at home reading the good book. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, maybe. Maybe. If your argument is that
there's an element
he's in
that.
The Bible Belt and he gets judged accordingly.
There's an element of that that comes with this for sure. And I'm not making fun of that, but I'm just saying that was the most obvious thing to me. There was a family values component that people thought he should have to own up to, which we can sit out here on the West Coast and say is ridiculous. But to a lot of people, that's probably pretty real. And should it be? Different discussion, but for me, the jokes were going to get off. They were going to fly. And
they were
going to
go anyway.
Laugh.
Yeah. Here's Solomon in Lake Balboa. Hey, Solomon, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, guys, I'm good. A couple of things. Number one, if there was any thought of him going to SC, that's done.
I never bought that, Solomon. Did you?
I don't know, but I'm saying if that was
Clinton, did you honestly think that Urban Meyer is a candidate for the open
considering
SEC
considering
job?
All the ridiculousness of the entire job search situation, USC is not hiring anybody that's more famous than anybody that they've already otherwise hired. That's just not happening from a power dynamic standpoint either.
But Solomon, I will tell you this: your point that if he was a college coach. Then it's a really bad look because he's in charge of young men and he's developing them. But in the NFL, this would be like catching your drill sergeant in the Army out in the bar. I mean, he's got a life away from the military, right?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, you are true, but, you know, his image, whether you're a college coach or you're a pro coach, it's not a good look, as your co-hosts there have pointed out.
All right. Maybe I'm being naive.
Maybe you got ahead of it. Yeah, John, maybe you got ahead of it. And went to the press before to his players, so he just wanted to be on top of it.
Solomon, what's your favorite book in the Bible?
Oh yeah, thanks Solomon for the phone call. Sure. Yeah, I just don't think it warranted what happened.
I don't either, but I'm not getting upset about it. But like, I mean, that's what I'm telling you, man. There's people who are just you know, what is it, the shame thing where you rub one finger on top of the other? There's a lot of people who have that kind of attitude about stuff.
Okay. So the Rams played yesterday at SoFi, and it was shocking. Shocking. Not that they lost. Arizona came in undefeated, too. Arizona's a good team. It's how they lost. It was not competitive.
Nope.
The Cardinals blew them out.
Yep.
Clinton, it was both sides of the ball. It was Kyler Murray clearly outplaying Matt Stafford. The running game, the Ram defense, the vaunted Ram defense, which has been so good, they ran it right down their throats. How much, if you're a Ram fan, how much do you say, yeah, let's not overreact, it's just one game, versus, boy, we've got some weaknesses we need to correct and correct them now. We play again on Thursday.
Well, there's also the third option, which is the sort of longer-term view, which is, beyond just correcting something that you didn't see or that you saw that you didn't like on the game film on the All-22 for Thursday, there's also the overall thing that, like, hey, maybe we're just not as good as we thought we were. You know what I'm saying? Because you lost to a division opponent at home and you got dump trucked. Like I said last week, I thought that because of the way that they played, that expectations probably should change for Ram fans in terms of their ability to not just get to the Super Bowl but win it. They might have downshifted back two spots where it's like, hey, not only is maybe, you know, the Super Bowl not exactly where we should be thinking, but like we might not even be the best team in our division. And that to me is a sort of a larger issue as to like, what are you thinking about yourself as a team overall? You don't want to let this loss affect more than 1 week psychologically, which is why I think if you're a fan, you've got to just say, all right, you got popped, but you really better hope they play well this next week. And I don't just mean in winning. I mean in terms of what they can look
and
like.
By the way,
the
it's
top.
Not the weekend. They play in 3 days.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Here's Eric in Covina. Hey, Eric, do you worry if you're the Rams that this is a sign of bigger problems, or is it just one game?
Gosh, man, you guys sound like you're high schoolers watching football. Come on. This is a 17-game season. NFC West is the best division in the NFL, and so you got heavyweights knocking the crap out of each other. So, you know, the Rams have been doing this to them in Arizona for the past few years. They kicked our tails. But here's the thing about this game. You couldn't afford turnovers, and we had two crucial turnovers. Otherwise, this game would have been a lot closer. So I don't agree with that. They're getting kicked, their tails kicked. Both heavyweights were going at each other. Arizona got the upper hand. We got them later on in the season, and we'll see what happens then. But, hey, this is – you're right. This is a division opponent here. So, you know, we get them again, and we can't take any team lightly. So we, you know, dust ourselves off, and we go after Seattle on Thursday.
Let me ask you this, though, quickly. Let me ask you this, though. Do you think McVay got outcoached in this game, and how does that rate on your scale of concern as a fan?
Okay, I don't believe they got outcoached. One of the biggest things I saw in that game against Murray is that, number one, hey, you got the – well, wait, number one, you got a great running game. Henderson showed a lot. Keep feeding him the rock. Do not get happy, oh, yeah, we're going to start throwing when something's working for you. Number two, when you guys keep Murray contained in that pocket, he can't see over the line. So keep him contained in there and don't let him get around the outside. Concentrate on those two elements, and, you know, you got this game won.
Sounds like coaching.
All right, thanks, Eric, for the phone call. I, you know, one thing you brought up, Clinton, I don't understand why the Rams stopped running the ball. Darrell Henderson was averaging 6 yards a carry.
Again.
And then they get down inside the five, and all they're doing is they try to QB sneak with Stafford. They try to a corner out route. Give the ball to Darrell Henderson and let him slam into the line.
I'm not going to be all doomsday about this, Ireland, but this is what I think is one of the – this is nitpicking, but this is the weakest part about McVay's game, is that oftentimes he goes too far to try to outsmart rather than outperform. And I think this is one of those situations. He got a little bit – I think he tried to prove – I'm a, like, his play calls tries to prove that he's a smarter guy rather than just winning the game in front of him. And I think he got a little bit into of a battle of that with Cliff Kingsbury, who a lot of people think was just sort of a dude that Kyler Murray is carrying. They had a pretty good scheme set up yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, they looked pretty
good. Both sides
good.
Of the ball.
That's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? And so, like, if you're going to call in and tell me, and I like that call. I understood what he was saying. But he's like, well, I don't understand why they went away. Well, look at the coach. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it wasn't the players that were deciding, I think we need to start airing it out and doing these little, you know, sort of funky route calls. I don't know, man. I think that was one of those where McVay got – he lost that battle, and it affected everything on the field as well.
All right, let's give away some Ram tickets and see if somebody can win $1 million. Open the phones, Jorge. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. I need four callers to play this game. One of these four people is going to get a shot at $1 million, and we'll do it next. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Iron. It's $1 million Monday, and let's see if we can give away $1 million.
Let's do it.
Here's how this works. We're going to bring four callers onto the show. They're each going to take a shot at a question I've come up with, and whoever wins it, whoever does the best in that game, gets two tickets to the Rams-Lions game coming up at SoFi Stadium, and they get to predict two teams that will be in the Super Bowl. Clinton and I have predicted Raiders versus Raiders. Because when the Raiders go undefeated, the NFL is going to realize they have no rival, and they're going to let them do an inter-squad game in the Super Bowl.
Okay. I see where your allegiance is lying.
And yes. And by the way, tonight, the Raider Express rolls on at SoFi. We'll get to that in a second. But we're going to give everybody a shot at this, and then we'll see how they do. All right. So first up is Hector in Irvine. Hector, how are you? Hector, are you there? Hector going once.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can
Hector
hear you.
Hector saves it.
Can you hear me, Mason?
Yeah, Mason's not here, but Hector, we can hear you.
Hector is scrambling.
All right, Hector, here's the thing. You only have 3 seconds to answer this, okay? If you take longer than 3 seconds, you're out. Are you ready? Hector, are you ready? Jorge,
I didn't hear the question out of it.
Jorge, is he? Do we have a problem with his connection? Do we need to bump him?
It sounds like it. Yeah, we do.
Okay, I'm sorry, Hector.
Oh, man.
Oh, Hector, you want to try? You haven't responded either time. Are you ready now?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Well, yes, sir. What was the question?
If you add up the passing yards so far this season for Matt Stafford, the rushing yards for Darrell Henderson, and the receiving yards for Cooper Kupp, how many total yards do you get? I need one number, Hector.
3,500.
Okay, thank you. Put you on hold and go to Eric. Eric in L.A. Eric, are you there?
Yes.
Matt
I'm here.
Stafford passing, Daryl Henderson rushing, Cooper Kupp receiving. How many total yards is that?
2,100.
Okay. Next up is Jose. Jose, can you hear us?
Yes.
All right, Jose. Matt Stafford passing, Daryl Henderson rushing, Cooper Kupp receiving. How many total yards?
This so season, far, right?
This season.
1,500.
1,500?
Yeah.
And the last caller is Ditter. Ditter, do we have your name right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Ditter. Matt Stafford passing, Daryl Henderson rushing, Cooper Kupp receiving. How many total yards so far this season?
2,500.
Okay. The closest was Jose. The correct answer was 1,432. Jose had 1,500. Jose, congratulations, man. Jose, are you there?
Yes, yes, yes. Let's go. Thank you, guys.
All right, now Jose, give me your full give me your full name, first and last, and where you're from.
Jose Montano from Whittier.
Okay, Jose from Whittier. What two teams are going to compete in the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, man, you know I got to pick my team. It's going to be Trey Lance.
Niners?
Yeah. And it's going to be the Chiefs. Niners and Chiefs again.
Okay, and predict the final score.
We'll do 31-28 Niners.
31-28 Niners. Jose, say your last name for me again.
Montano. Montano.
All right, Jose Montano from Whittier says Niners 31, Chiefs 28 in the Super Bowl. Jose, hang on the line. Greg's going to get your info, and if you got it, if it's Chiefs, Niners in the Super Bowl, and the Niners win 31-28, you get $1 million. How's that sound?
Awesome.
All right, man, hang on the line. We'll get you those Rams-Lions tickets. By the way, Clinton, how would you answer that question? Who's in the Super Bowl and who wins?
I just wanted to say I love a good smoothly run promotion and execution. That was awesome. Good job out of you, Ireland, for getting through that. I don't know. I mean, I think that this is tough. I don't think I see the Chiefs making it back. Their defense is just a little too loose for me.
I agree with you.
I haven't answered that question by the end of the show.
I think I now think Buffalo looks like the team.
Buffalo looks good. They're smoking people.
And here's the thing that you know, remember when the Bills went to the Super Bowl those 4 years in a row?
Mm-hmm.
The problem was that it was very hard for any team to go into Buffalo and win in Buffalo in January.
Yeah.
The Raiders tried to do it once and lost 51-3. it's just that's a tremendous home field advantage they have. So if the Chiefs keep losing. I know they won yesterday, but if Buffalo has one loss. They lost to the Steelers at the start of the season. If Buffalo could somehow secure home field, I think home field advantage to them
massive
means a lot more than it would to, let's say, Dallas, who looks really good so far.
Yeah, and especially in the AFC, I think that it's a big factor for a team that good, for sure, from a weather standpoint and from just a general crowd noise standpoint.
And by the way, the Rams and the Chargers have a unique opportunity. If they could somehow...
This is what we're rooting for, by the way.
Okay, if they could somehow finish with the best record in their respective conference, Chargers in the AFC, Rams are now 3-1. Chargers can go to 3-1 tonight if they upset the Raiders. Listen to me. They're favored at home against the Raiders. If they win that game, the Chargers, they would be 3-1. That would be as good as... You know, they would hand the Raiders their first loss. That'd be as good as any team in the AFC. If they, Clinton, the Chargers, or the Rams for that matter, could secure the best record in their conference, they never would have to get on a plane.
Right.
They wouldn't even have to get on a bus in the postseason. Oh, they could just play all their games at SoFi, including the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine if that actually happened?
It happened 1 year to the Niners. They finished with the best record in their conference, and the Super Bowl that year was at Stanford Stadium in Northern California.
Right.
And so they never had to get on a plane.
That's not what I'm talking about, though. I'm talking about if in the first year with fans back, the double LA Super Bowl happened in Los Angeles, that would be incredible. Like, as like, I'm rooting for that as a sports talk personality in this market, John. We've got to be rooting for that, no?
Well, it would be unbelievable.
It would be pretty cool. And with the halftime show being L.A.-based, I mean, that turned...
By the way, what did you think of that announcement? If you weren't with us on Friday, they announced that Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, and Kendrick Lamar are going to be the heart of the Super Bowl halftime show. I'm sure they'll probably drop in a couple extra surprises. Yeah. But in general, what'd you think?
I think it's going to be the hottest ticket in town, not just because it's the Super Bowl. That's going to be a party and a half, bro. I will be there. By hook or by crook, Gregory, I will find a way into the building because that's going to be fun. You know, that event's going to be fun enough as it is. Brand new stadium, new setup, cool halftime show. If you get both teams from the city in there too, that takes that thing over the top.
And if the Chargers win tonight, I mean, you look at that division and all of a sudden, you know, we've all been sitting here talking about how great the NFC West is. Look at the AFC West.
Yeah.
All right, so the Chargers would be 3-1, the Raiders would be 3-1, the Chiefs would be 2-2, and the Broncos would be 3-1. You know, it's not impossible with the modern playoff format, Clinton, that four teams from one division could make it to the playoffs. It's unlikely because they all have to play each other.
Right.
But everybody's talking about that being a possibility in the NFC West. What about in the AFC West?
You know, it's too bad that the Broncos and Teddy Bridgewater got knocked out of that game yesterday. Like, I think that they would have been the weakest link out of all of those teams because they have the most sort of questions to answer coming off, you know, Drew Locke as their guy. But Teddy looked good, but he got popped yesterday, and it doesn't look like he's going to be back. So I think the Broncos are unfortunately the team that probably drops off that list. But, I mean, you've got three solid squads in that division that – are still trying to sort of, I don't want to say prove themselves, but the Raiders and the Chargers are at sort of similar points of like, can we really believe in you or not? You know, but I think the Raiders are as formidable opponent as anybody. I think the Chargers are up and coming in a way that is very, very cool to watch as well.
And those two teams, in case you've been living under a rock, play at SoFi Stadium tonight. The Chargers are a 3-point favorite, even though the Raiders are undefeated. That line feels about right to me. The Raiders have had a couple of, you know, overtime sneak away wins. The Chargers probably could be 3-0 if they wouldn't have had a bunch of penalties against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And by the way, now that we know that the Cowboys are good, and they look good, Clinton, I don't know how many times you've seen them play, but Dak Prescott looks like he's going to the Pro Bowl. Stephon Diggs' brother, the defensive back for them, who has 5 interceptions.
He can play.
Looks like a shutdown corner. I think that Dallas is clearly the best team in the NFC East. And so by the way, who's the best team in the NFC period?
That's a good question. I mean,
are we allowed to say Cardinals?
And so, well, that's the thing. I mean, that's what my point was. If I'm going to sit up here on TV and say the road to the NFC runs through Los Angeles and the Cardinals ran through the Rams, well, then I've got to believe that the Cardinals are the best team in the NFC. Again, it's week 4, and do I necessarily rate out everybody's talent at the highest in Arizona? I don't know, but I know that right now, the team that is playing the best football in the NFC is absolutely the Arizona Cardinals and baseball player, as I like to call him, Kyler Murray. You know what I mean? He is commanding that team in a way. You know who he reminds me of, quite frankly? He reminds me of a good version of Doug Flutie, a better version of Doug Flutie, which is sort of interesting to say, but like he's not just a little man playing a big man's game. He's in control. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're not old enough, but he reminds me of Fran Tarkenton.
Okay.
Yeah, your friend Tarkenton is in the Hall of Fame, who used to play quarterback for the Giants and the Vikings and went to multiple Super Bowls, was this little guy like Kyler, and nobody could take him down, Clinton. He would just scramble around. He could run, but what he really could do was evade. He could evade the defense until the play was so broken that he would just throw it in. And Kyler is faster than Fran was. He's more agile. He's like, you know, he's not as tall as Michael Vick, but he's like a modern-day Michael Vick.
Yeah, and he's not just – I mean, he's also not only just out there running around. He can sling it, and he understands coverages. This is not just a guy where an athlete is out here faking everybody out. This guy knows how to play the quarterback position very well. He's been doing it since he was a high school player where he never lost a game as a starter.
And very quietly, they've put together – a really aggressive defense. They've got J.J. Watt. They've got Chandler Jones. They got Buda Baker. They have great speed in the secondary. All of a sudden now they've got wide receivers that nobody can cover. This kid, Christian Kirk, looks really good. DeAndre Hopkins is a top three receiver in the NFL. And A.J. Green looks like old A.J. Green. The Rams tried to single cover him yesterday, and he burned him for a touchdown.
Yeah.
They're good. The Cardinals are good. I don't know who's going to win the NFC West, but they're – by the way, when the Rams play them again, it's on a Monday night in December in Arizona.
Hmm.
So that's going to be a huge game later in the year. All right, coming up next, the showdown tonight at SoFi Stadium. What do you expect? And how bad's the crowd going to be? It's a Chargers home game, but will the Raiders do what they always do and take it over? And does it matter? We'll get into all that. Jump ball coming up a little bit later this hour. Mason in Ireland, Clinton in for Mace, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
By the way, some breaking news, Clinton. Luis Rojas is out as the manager of the Mets. That was somewhat predictable.
Yeah.
The Mets are owned by a hedge fund guy, Steve Cohen. And there are rumors. I know baseball is one of your favorite sports.
Yep.
There are rumors that they are going to try and bring in the 800-pound gorilla to run baseball. They have asked for permission to talk to Theo Epstein. They have asked for permission to talk to Billy Bean of the A's. And so that all of a sudden becomes, I think, a pretty good managerial job if you've got that type of money and maybe that type of executive behind you.
Well, wait,
don't
Billy
you think?
Bean came up in the Mets system, right?
Right. And, you know, Billy Bean has part ownership of the A's, so that Steve Cohen would have to, I would think, have to match that.
Or he'd have to divest from the A's, yeah.
Well, he would, but he would make money on that, and then Cohen would have to make him whole. But apparently, if you're going to even make that call to Billy Bean, you have to, I would think, offer him at least part of your team, right?
Yeah, I mean, because otherwise, well, I don't know, man. I mean, what a fascinating question. I mean, if Billy Bean still has any ties to the franchise from an emotional standpoint, maybe that's not required off the top to get him there as a GM. Maybe, you know, you sort of promise it on the back end, but, like, that hasn't worked well for the Mets, you know what I'm saying, in past years, and oof. I mean, that's a guy who also, Greg, as you know, loves tweeting about his baseball team in the middle of games, which is like, I don't know that that's what I want to walk into, even if it is the system I played in when I was coming up as a pro ball player.
But, I mean, if you go over to the Mets, you're actually walking into a really good situation.
Oh, I agree.
That infield is incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Javi Baez, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso. There's talk of them trying to go after Machado. Like, you have a lot of stuff going on there.
Well, hey, speaking
of Theo Epstein, by the way, Theo Epstein is working. He's a consultant for Major League Baseball. You don't got to ask anybody for permission. You just go to him,
right? But apparently, that they've told Major League Baseball they want to talk to him,
right?
And Major League Baseball said, "Go ahead. We don't, you know."
Yeah, he's just a consultant.
It's up to Theo.
Huh.
By the way, you mentioned Machado, Greg. The thing that surprises me is that the Padres haven't fired their manager.
They have, I thought.
Did it already happen? I mean, it's like the worst kept secret. But so Clinton, if you had your choice, you could take the Padre job and you have Tatis and Machado and that pitching staff, or you can go to the Mets where they have an unlimited amount of money. What's a better job?
I'm not going to tell you the whole backstory about how that Padres manager got his job because that would be untoward of me, but let's just say that guy probably shouldn't be doing that job anyway. And they botched it coming down the stretch late. So I think the Padres is still a great gig. I also sort of lean towards the any job in San Diego is a great job in America, as
well,
you know.
And think about this, too. All those guys, Tatis and Machado, all their stars are signed long term.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a great job. And, you know, since we're in Southern California, I'll say it. Somebody might hear it. Ron Washington, come on down. Uncle Wash deserves that job. All right. That's what should happen.
All right. I'm going to make a crazy prediction.
Yes.
I think Bruce Bochy is going to come out of retirement and take that job.
What?
He came up in the Padre organization. He was the third base coach when I worked there years ago. He loves it in San Diego. The Padres have tried two managers in a row who were like analytics guys who didn't play the game.
Oh, I
think
know.
They're going to go old school. I think Ron Washington would be a great choice.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, he's taken a team to the World Series. Bruce Bochy's won three of them. I think they're going to call Mike Scioscia. I think they're going to go the complete opposite of what they've been doing. Hmm. They've been going young, unknown, let the GM make the lineup. Now I think they're going the other way.
Well, Wash was, let's just say, close to getting that gig before, and I think they'll go back to him this time.
See, yeah. Bruce Bochy actually makes a little bit of sense for them because he has the San Diego ties. But look at the AL right now. The ALDS. Yeah, ALDS? Yeah, ALDS is Chicago versus... Who are they playing? Now I just
Tampa. It's Kevin Cash is the one guy that's kind of like what the Padres have been doing. But yeah. Dusty Baker's in Houston.
Yeah, Dusty
Tony
Baker
La Russa is a White Sox. And then
7 years
at
old.
Alex McCorin, Brett Boone. I mean, the Padres are going to get a baseball guy in there.
Yeah,
I can tell
but
you
the
that.
Thing is, the difference between Wash and everybody else is that Wash is the guy who's got appreciable fielding improvements on his record. Like, your infield gets better when Ron Washington shows up. And I think that considering the core, a lot of the core of that team is on the infield in terms of who their stars are, this could be an improvement that makes more sense from them from a baseball standpoint.
My favorite line in Moneyball is when Brad Pitt's playing Billy Bean, and he's at Scott Hatterberg's house, mm-hmm. and he walks up and he says, "Scott, we're going to turn you into a first baseman. It's not that hard. Tell him, Wash." And the guy playing Ron Washington goes, "It's incredibly hard."
I love Wash, man. That dude is one of the coolest dudes in the game.
Okay, let's pivot over to the football game tonight at SoFi Stadium. Thank you. All right, Clinton, I was thinking about something. This is a great matchup. These teams are very evenly matched.
Yep.
If I gave you a choice, would you rather have Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs, and Darren Waller, who are the three big stars for the Raiders, or Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, and kind of the hybrid of Mike Williams and Keenan Allen? Whose weapons are more dangerous?
Okay, so let me say this. Number one, I think Waller is probably the best overall weapon, but I think that if you put Allen and Williams together, I don't even need Eckler. You know what I'm saying? If I'm picking two weapons, for me, Allen and Williams get the job done because of the talent of Herbert, to me, being superior to the talent of Carr. That's my opinion. So that's kind of convoluted, but I think that at different places, different parts work differently. Meaning, I think the Chargers have, between two players, probably a more trustworthy.
Well, they have more options. Yeah, although, I'll say this. As somebody who watches every Raider game, I've been shocked at how good our receivers have been this year.
Yeah, they've played well.
I didn't think Henry Ruggs was anything but a speed guy.
Well, Hunter Renfro's turned out to be a revelation.
Hunter Renfro is like Cooper Kupp Jr.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the same thing going over there. So I'm really happy with the Raider wide receivers. I know the Chargers love it. I think this game tonight's going to be
great. It's going to be a fun game. I think this might be the best Monday Night Football game we've gotten so far this year. I am fired up on a basic level.
By the way, you can watch that game not only on ESPN, but on ABC7, the local stations have the option, if your team is in the market, of picking up the game for the network. So you can watch it. They think it's going to do such a big number that they've picked it up and basically said, we're going to run it on two channels.
I love that.
And so that's how high that is. All right, coming up next, Greg will get in here. We'll do a little jump ball. 710 ESPN.
Thank you very much, Chris. All right, here, you guys ready for a little jump ball?
Yeehaw.
We are going to do MLB jersey sales. They are out, and I have the top 10, and see if you guys can knock all of them out. Three strikes, and you are
okay,
out.
Okay, Clinton, Mason and I are normally very good at this, so I figure Ohtani has to be there, right?
Yeah. Ohtani is on the list. He's number 9.
Tatis has to be there, too.
Tatis is number 2.
I imagine Guerrero's up there as well.
Wait a minute.
No,
wait a minute.
That's one.
Hold on. He didn't make that a formal guess.
I'll ask you. I thought we got, do we get three strikes each or three strikes as a group?
No, as a group.
Okay, well,
together.
My bad. I was a little loose. That was a lazy swing. My fault. Okay.
All right. So
let's try this a little harder.
Now, generally the rule on jersey sales, because Greg asks us these a lot, it's either young stars like Tatis, like you just got, or it's a big name who has recently changed teams.
Yes.
So my guess is, you know, and by the way, New York and L.A. are the two biggest markets.
Yeah.
So this is my long way of saying I think Javi Baez is on there because he's now playing in New York. What do you think? By the way, Aaron Judge has got to be there just because he's on the Yankees, right?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like Mookie's got to be there.
Oh, well, he does.
Well, let's do one at a time here. What is your first guess?
Mookie is a formal guess. Mookie's got to be top five.
Yeah.
Mookie is top one.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay. So the next guy, I'll ride with Baez for sure.
Okay, Baez, Greg.
Number four, he is on the list.
Okay.
All right, what about Judge?
Judge, I don't know. I mean,
you got we haven't said any Yankees yet.
Yeah, but I guess okay. As a Yankee representative, I'll
say. By the way,
Judge.
I think there's going to be multiple Yankees, multiple Dodgers. If I had to guess,
so Aaron Judge is on the list. He is number seven.
All right. So how many are we missing?
You are missing number three, number six, number five, number six, number eight, and number ten.
I have a feeling that one of these is going to be somebody who isn't playing a lot, who just happens to be very popular. Which means I'm trying to guess whether Trout is still on the list. You know what I'm saying?
No, he didn't. I mean, I bet you he's top 20, but I bet you I don't know necessarily if he's top 10. And Ohtani, everybody who was buying Angel jerseys bought an Ohtani jersey. Who's the other Dodgers? There's got to be at least one more Dodger.
Does there?
Yeah, New York and L.A.
I know.
We've already got the two New York guys. We got
Judge and Baez.
In the top 10?
Another
Dodger?
Gonna be, right. So it's going to be like... Kershaw wouldn't be there. Right?
I don't think that these. Right. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
That
all right. Hey, I just
thought
of somebody who changed teams.
Yeah.
What about either? Okay, two guys that changed teams that are all stars. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Rizzo, Nolan Arenado. You think either one of them are on there?
I think it would be Rizzo if anybody.
But we already have two New Yorkers. Arenado's got to be there, Clinton.
On jersey sales?
There's no.
The guy went from Colorado to St. Louis.
I know, but there's no Cardinals.
Yeah, but I mean the car. Okay, I mean I guess I don't look. I see.
Would you rather do him or Acuna? There's got to be somebody in the South.
I think it's going to be Acuna.
All right, we'll try Acuna.
Number three on the list, Ronald Acuna Jr.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so we're only missing
like
three,
these big
right?
baseball markets where randos are.
Right,
like,
we only have one strike, right, Greg?
Yeah, one strike.
You want to try Rizzo?
Let's keep Rizzo on the back end.
All right. Well, we got to guess. This thing's taking too long.
Yeah. All right. Well, forget it. Rizzo. Yeah, sure.
Rizzo.
Rizzo is number two, not on the list. You have two strikes. One more strike.
I didn't think he was on the list. That's what I'm saying.
I'll give you a hint.
Are Dodgers left. Okay.
All right. Then it's got to be Seager, right?
Seager is number eight on the list. Yes.
Okay.
All right.
You've mentioned at least two of the three left.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. There are more Dodgers.
There are more Dodgers. Okay, well, I mean.
All right, so that means Kershaw's got to be there.
Kershaw's number five.
All right, I think.
Kershaw's selling that many jerseys?
Clinton, I'm going to let you pick.
I'm not that good at jersey sales.
I think it's either Nolan Arenado or it's Manny Machado.
I think it's Machado before it's
all right,
Arenado,
Greg, we'll go Machado.
It is Nolan Arenado, number 10. Nolan Arenado's number 10. And by the way, number six, Cody Bellinger.
Wow. Never would have got it.
Yep. Okay, yeah. Never right. Jersey sales are such a weird metric for everything.
Never would have got a Cody.
Good list.
All right. Almost. All right. We did okay.
Yeah, you did well. You did well. All right. And by the way, nice job, John, going after Nolan Arenado.
That was a strong pull.
We didn't guess it.
I know, but my bad. I mean, I guess I don't know.
All right. So the end of the Ravens Broncos game was a bit odd. I don't know if you guys watched it, but with the Ravens leading 23-7, the Ravens picked off a pass with only 3 seconds left on the clock. And instead of taking a knee, Lamar Jackson ran for 5 yards and slid to end the game. The reason for it? The Ravens were at 97 yards rushing and needed to get to 100 to tie the Steelers' all-time record of 43 straight 100-yard rushing games in the 1970s. They are now tied. So now the Ravens and the Steelers are now tied at 43 consecutive 100-yard rushing games. Are you okay with going for this record?
Not only am I okay with it, Clinton, I love the fact that they stuck it to their rival.
Yep.
If it was somebody other than the Steelers... I like if it was the 72 Dolphins or if it was, you know, the Cowboys or so that had no tie to the Ravens. But how many great Ravens Steelers games have there been? I have zero issue with this.
Yeah. And Vic Fangio, by the way, Get off your high horse talking about this is about player safety. You called three timeouts in the last 30 seconds of the game, playboy.
Yeah, you know what down I'm 23
you
to 7.
You want to stop somebody, stop somebody. These are doing football stuff to break football records against your football team. How can you be upset about that?
Yeah, I think that he doesn't have a leg to stand on. Greg, I have zero problem with what the Ravens did. And the only rule, I've said this for many, many years on the show, play as hard as you can for as long as you want, and the other team can't bitch.
Right.
All right? And the other team's bitching, so I'm with the Ravens on this one.
All right, Jorge, what you got for us?
All right, guys, over the weekend, it hurts, but I sold my Harley.
Really?
Oh no!
Yeah, I sold
my
Harley. Oh no! Man, Greg did not know that until just
now. Okay, Jorge. Main reason why was what?
I have a kid now.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm planning on having more.
Temptation for danger.
Right.
Now let me ask you this: did you have like a hog, a roadster, or what were you doing?
A Sportster.
A Sportster.
Yeah, but it was my first Harley ever.
Right.
So I bought it back in 2014, and today in 2014 that's the first time I bought it, and I sold it like 2 days to the day. You know
wow.
I mean? So anyways, have you guys ever sold or got rid of something that had that kind of sentimental value to you guys?
Tough for me to top a Harley.
I know, man.
Very tough for me to top a Harley.
I don't think I have. I'm pretty good at not getting attached to anything material. Like they say, if your house was on fire and you could only grab one thing, Clinton, I really don't know what I would grab.
I know.
I don't have anything that is like of so much personal value to me that I would, you know, be devastated if I lost it.
Jorge, by the way, is in here waving checks around.
No, not the check, the pink slip.
Oh. I was like, if that's a check, that's hilarious. No. I think for me, John, it's not that anything in particular has that much value outside of the story of how I got it. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, what I've been good at over the years is if I get something really cool is to give it to somebody else because I know that it will be of major value to them. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it necessarily – it's a very cool thing for me, but if somebody else it means something different. I'm thinking of the – I got an all-black commemorative 824 Mamba Spalding ball that was, like, really, really cool, and I gave it to my homie Julian, who listeners of the station will know who they are. He's my best friend here. And he really loved it. You know what I'm saying? So, for me – I take a lot of pride in that because, you know, in these jobs, you have the opportunity to sort of come across a lot of things. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And oftentimes it feels better to be able to pass that along than it does to be able
I
to
have,
keep
it like,
yourself.
If you came through my house, Clinton, you would not be able to tell that my profession is sportscaster.
Right.
There's no memorabilia. In my son's room, there's a mini basketball signed by Kobe and Shaq that they did for me when they were together and mm-hmm. he was born and I signed it and I threw it in his room. So it's still in his room. But the only one time I remember the All-Star game was in LA and they sent me in order to promote the All-Star game on TV when I was working at Channel 2, they sent me Kobe's All-Star jersey, like a commemorative Kobe All-Star jersey.
Wow.
And there's a guy, a really good dude, named Jeffrey Blake. His dad, Jeff, worked in the entertainment business in LA for years and years. Jeff and Jeffrey both listened to Mason and I for a long time. And Jeffrey is an executive at Saturday Night Live.
Hmm.
And he has gotten me in twice. He's gotten Mason in. He's gotten my wife in. He's just an incredibly generous
guy. Might need to meet Jeff.
Yeah, I'd be happy. He would get you in. He's like that kind of guy. And so I took the Kobe jersey, the commemorative Kobe All-Star jersey, and I had Kobe sign it for me, and I sent it to Jeff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because he's a giant Kobe fan and a big Lakers fan. And 2 years later, Kobe passed away.
That's a great move out of you,
though. So I was really glad I got that in right kind of under the wire. But I don't have anything like that, Jorge, that I would – it would hurt for me to part with that.
But you know what? The guy who bought it, he was really into bikes. As soon as he saw it, he's like, dude, I'm taking it, man. It's just
that's cool.
It was a cool bike. It was a really cool bike. I had fun in it.
Bergman, you got anything sentimental?
So no, I don't really have much sentimental stuff.
Not the hats
but
on the wall.
The worst thing that happened to me was that my ex. No, not the hats on the wall. The worst thing that my ex-wife convinced me stupidly. I'm a moron to get rid of all of my yearbooks.
What?
Yeah.
Your high school yearbooks?
Oh no, go further back.
Hold on.
You had them from
I had them from when I was in elementary school.
How could you
elementary school.
Those are literally irreplaceable.
Oh, I know.
How
they're gone.
On earth did you get yourself down
and
so
by the way,
bad?
We were moving to Hawaii, and she was like, we can't take all of this stuff. You got to get rid of some of the stuff. And I ended up being like, well, I guess I got to let this go.
Great.
Worst thing I ever did.
And by the way, I'm surprised that she, well, maybe that's why you're not married anymore, that she didn't recognize that that would be of significance to you.
Oh, she didn't care.
That's of significance to everybody.
Didn't care.
Yeah.
And then years later, I found out she kept all of hers.
Oh,
of course.
Oh, devastating.
Oh, that sucks.
Devastating.
Yeah, that was a thing.
All right, you got one more? Is that it?
I can go one more.
Go one more.
All right, we've talked about this a ton, and I really just want to talk about it because it was so amazing what we had here. Shohei Ohtani finished the season with 138 hits, 26 doubles, 8 triples, 46 home runs, 100 RBIs, 96 walks, 26 stolen bases. And that's just hitting. The pitching, 130 innings, 14 quality starts, 156 strikeouts, 318 ERA. Is this the greatest season you have ever seen out of a baseball player, period?
Easily. It might be the best season I've seen out of an athlete in America.
Yeah, that's what I want to say, athlete.
And Clinton, I think that we may never see it again.
No.
I mean,
not from him, not from anybody.
Yeah, it was so overshadowed by the fact he played on a bad team. But that guy was absolutely unbelievable. And if he doesn't win the MVP by a landslide, people weren't paying attention.
Also, I just want to say this, and this matters in this context to me. I was at the All-Star game. I was at the Little League Classic. The presence is every much as what you would think it is. I mean, other big leaguers staring at this guy and kids following him around, people showing up. Again, he lost to Juan Soto in the first round of the Home Run Derby, and people left the yard in droves. Mind you, that's other Major League All-Stars there hitting baseballs out of the yard. People were only still there to see Ohtani. I mean, he's just a marvel on every level.
Yeah, and apparently just a great dude.
Yep.
I mean, like, people love working with him. The Angel people love him. You know, he took all his All-Star money and gave it to the media relations staff.
Yeah, he gave it to all the people that, you know, right, who worked that team. I mean, the guy's a great dude. When he was at the end of the year, he wore the shirt supporting Curt Flood's Hall of Fame campaign. You know, like, so he understands the world as well as just sort of where he is. I mean, you can't ask for much more out of a ballplayer.
All right, coming up, how worried should the Dodgers be about the Cardinals? One game on Wednesday, winner moves on, loser goes home. We'll get into that a little bit. And a Stephen A. Smith impersonation that is one for the ages. We'll get that to you next. Mason in Ireland, Clinton in for May 710 ESPN.